Proverbs 31, 25 through 36, and 30 through 31. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Well, today is our final message from the book of Proverbs. Excited. The next couple weeks, you're going to be hearing from some other people and people that I think have a good word for us in these times. And then we'll have the Back to Church Sunday, Stronger Together, and then our series on faith and science. But today is the day, the final day, final message on the book of Proverbs. And at the heart of the series, of this whole series, is the thought that Proverbs is a collection of wisdom, teachings, and sayings that are really trying to get us to realize a few things. And we've been communicating this to you, that it's designed to foster wisdom, to form godly character in us, and encourage an obedient relationship to the Lord, which also promotes blessing, right, in our lives. So just kind of a quick recap. If we desire wisdom, which is the first thing, where do we start? Well, Proverbs is pretty clear in chapter 2 that it just begins by crying out for wisdom, by asking God for wisdom. I'm going to read this to you, verses 1 through 6 of Proverbs chapter 2. It says, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Now, I don't know about you, but that makes it pretty clear to me that wisdom's not just going to drop out of the sky on me. Amen. That I need to be focused. I need to focus my heart. I need to focus my mind. I need to cry aloud for this understanding and for this wisdom. I need to seek for it like I would if I knew there was a hidden treasure and had a map to it where I can guarantee you, if you knew right now where there was $1 million buried and you had a map and you knew that it was available to you if you got there, you're not going to sit down and you're not going to go have lunch and have a burger or something before you go find that treasure. You are going to be focused. You are going to go for it. You're going to seek for it like you would for hidden treasure. And that's how we should value God's godly wisdom. And seek for it, which I would then argue primarily is going to come to us through the Word of God and applying the Word of God to our day-to-day lives. It's in this place of wisdom that we understand that it is really the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we talked about that, and I don't have time to go into that today. I will once again recommend a book written by Joy Dawson called Intimate Friendship with God Through Understanding the Fear of the Lord. An interesting title, but a beautiful title. Intimate Friendship with God Through Understanding the Fear of the Lord. So just a recommendation if you want to know more, a little more about that. Proverbs, and also, as I've said, it encourages us to develop and while also revealing to us what godly character even is. How are we to live in a way that honors God, blesses others, and forms us into the people we were created to be? We're going to look a little bit more at that even here today. Proverbs also clarifies the blessing of walking in right relationship with God and what that looks like in our daily living. And this is one of the key things that I think is so important. And actually, I'm going to share with you a kind of a humorous, maybe it's an anecdote, But I think it speaks strongly about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Because, you know, in the United States and in the Western world, we tend to put an emphasis on information. So even our discipleship processes often emphasize information. If I could just do another Bible study, if I can just gain more knowledge. But knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is applied knowledge. Wisdom is when you get the knowledge that you know and have, and it is then properly applied in your life. So knowledge is not enough. And this is, let me get share the anecdote. So knowledge is knowing tomatoes are a fruit. Did you know that? Wisdom is not putting tomatoes in your fruit salad. If you don't get it, you'll get it about 2 o'clock in the morning. You see, it's one thing to know that tomatoes are a fruit. It's a whole nother thing to know when to eat them. You know, now maybe some of you are like, well, I don't know, I like tomatoes in fruit salad. Well, you know, okay, good for you. But the point being, the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And we're talking about wisdom here. And the church is in sore need of wisdom. And the people of God are in need of wisdom. We need knowledge that's transforming. We need to be, you know, it needs to transform us so that we know how to live our lives. So today, just to get on to what we're going to talk about today, we're looking at Proverbs 31. It's the final chapter in Proverbs. And Proverbs 31, along with the previous chapter, actually recaps, I believe, the images and themes of the entire book, drawing them together into a comprehensive conclusion. So often in Proverbs 31, we focus on this woman or wife, the wife of noble character in verses 10 through 31. And I think, to be honest with you, I think we take these verses out of their historical context and also out of the whole book of Proverbs as a whole. We read Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 as like a standalone thing, like it's not even in the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to argue that that does not benefit us. And it also does not speak to the men at all. All right? But I think the woman of Proverbs 31 has a lot to say to us men and to the women here. And I'll make my argument in just a moment. In fact, usually I would suggest that well-meaning preachers will read these verses usually on Mother's Day, inspiring some, but leaving many women feeling defeated and ashamed. How in the world can you ever live up, you ladies in here, to this Proverbs 31 woman in so many different ways? Many consider that their lives do not come close to the ideals expressed here, or they consider the entire passage to just really be out of touch with modern day womanhood, and therefore just write it off as altogether irrelevant, right? So what I'm trying to argue here is that we are not getting, I don't think, what God intended for us to get out of this passage of Scripture. So today I hope we'll give Proverbs 31 another chance, that we'll take a look at this woman of noble character, this wife of noble character, and allow her to speak to all of us today as the Word of God speaks to all of us today. In fact, it's interesting, and it's interesting, if this was a description of a man, we would immediately suggest that it applies to everyone in the room. But because it's speaking, even uses the word wife, I think we tend to just, oh, that's for the women. And then most of the women go, I can't relate to her. I don't sow or spin. You know, I don't have sheep. You know, this kind of stuff. So, are we just going to write off the whole chapter, or are we going to let God speak to us through it? I hope that we will let God speak to us through it today, as we put it in its larger context, which is what? The book of Proverbs, okay? So it's in the book of Proverbs, and it's also in the context of an ancient culture. And I'm going to talk about both those things here in just a minute. So, but going back to verse 1, There's a couple points I'd like to make here. The first is, I'll just read it to you. Verse 1 of chapter 31 says, the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. So where is the wisdom of Proverbs 31 actually coming from? His mother. All right. So let's just kind of keep that in mind also. Now, who is King Lemuel? While we cannot know for certain, his name means devoted to or belonging to God. Now, Jewish tradition and Jewish scholars can say that King Lemuel is a name given to King Solomon by Bathsheba. It's like almost like a pet name, like Bug, you know, or whatever. Sorry, Maisie is a little two-year-old in our home. Her nickname is Bug, right? Well, the pet name that potentially Bathsheba had for Solomon was Lemuel, because he was devoted to God and the whole circumstances even of his birth. So this is, and so again, so these are at least a queen mother's words to her son, right? Come on, amen. Yeah, amen, pastor. That's right, preach it. Yeah, you go. All right. It's wisdom advice for a king. The queen mother exhorts her son, and this is a quick summary because I'm not going to dwell on these first nine verses. The summary of this is this. She exhorts her son to be a king that avoids debauchery and intemperance. Don't drink too much, and don't just go around wasting your life on, quite frankly, illicit sexual encounters. And be wise, my son, in order that you might lead the people with justice. It's all there if you go back and read it. That as a king, that you would go lead the people with justice and compassion for those in need. So she's saying, keep your perspective. Remember who you are. Be a godly king. Lead the people in a godly way. And while this is wise advice for any leader, it's not what I'm going to focus on today. I just kind of want to still keep this all in its context, right? So now verse 10, which always has a heading, if you have, by the way, you know when you read your Bibles, I'll just say this again, when you read your Bibles and you come to a heading, so it's like a heading being you're reading through the scriptures, then it says a wife of noble character. Okay, those headings were not, they're actually not scripture. You do know that, right? Those headings are put in by publishers. So whoever publishes that Bible or whoever the translators were, whatever, they're trying to help you out, right? But I would argue that there's no transition here. This is still the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that was taught to him by his mother. Okay, you following me? So even though there's a heading there in your Bible that says probably a wife of noble character, it's been added by publishers to help us understand the flow of the scripture. So she going to verse 10 then, she says, a wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. So again, if this is the queen mother's advice, she is stating it's really important that you find a wife, a spouse, a life, you know, someone that you can, that's going to have wisdom, that's going to be this kind of a person, all right? So let's just take a look at this woman a little more closely. So although I do believe that this is a chapter, that this woman really is a personification of wisdom for us once again, I'm going to address it on its most basic level of what this says about a wife or women in general. So I am going to start there, and then I'm going to bring it back to where I think I'll say things that apply more fully to men and women in the room here. You with me? All right. So while many see this as an expression of an antiquated domestic role or the antiquated domestic role of women, I think that if we take this passage, put it in its ancient context, we are going to see a totally different picture here. Now, what do I mean by this? When you think of that time and that and the way and the status of most women in that area, it's women, I'm just let's just be frank, okay? We don't like it, but women were low on the totem pole. They didn't have a lot of rights. A lot of times were considered to be a piece of property. But now listen to this particular woman. So let's put her in her context and then hear what the guy says. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want us to highlight what is actually being said about this woman. First of all, she has incredible value. In verse 10, it says she is worth far more than rubies. So in the midst of this culture, God is speaking and saying, look, women do have value. Because if you find a woman like this, okay, you get what I'm saying? Her husband has full confidence in her, verse 11. She runs her own business, albeit most of it out of the home, verses 13 through 19, verse 24. She engages in ministry to others, especially the poor. In verse 20, it says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She is highly respected and a woman of influence, verses 23 to 25, 28 and 31. And she is a wise teacher, it says in verse 26. So what did I just do here? I stripped away just looking at she can sew and she can cook and she can, you know, and I pulled out more of the, first of all, in this particular section here or this time around, we are looking at how she is being honored. This woman is being honored, which to me just flies in the face of so often how this passage is taken. She is a woman. Just go read it for yourself. Don't even take my word for it. But consider its context that this is a woman who has power and influence in her sphere, in her realm, okay? Which isn't surprising coming from the Queen Mother, who also was probably a woman of much power and influence, quite frankly. In fact, we know she was. How did Solomon even get on the throne? Do you know how Solomon got on the throne? Through the intercession of his mother. I mean, I think God wanted him on the throne, but when you look at it in the realm, okay. So, what is it that makes this woman, though, so highly praised? And what can we, both men and women, what can we learn from her as it relates to the overall subject matter of the book of Proverbs? So we're gonna kind of go back through and look at this again and talk about it in this sense. I think the primary answer lies in the reality that I believe this woman, again, is the personification of practical wisdom. Instead of looking at her context, her domestic life, and I've already kind of mentioned this, let's look at her character traits. Remember, Proverbs is a collection of wisdom teachings and sayings designed to what? Foster wisdom, form character, and encourage an obedient relationship to the Lord. We see all of these featured in this woman of noble character. So what does wisdom look like? So we're going to come back to the same 10 through 31, and I'm going to pull out traits that I think show us and teach us wisdom. Are you with me? Because what book are we reading? We're reading Proverbs. And what is Proverbs? It's a book of wisdom, okay? So why are we looking at a wife of noble character? So that we can gain wisdom. So we can see her example and take to heart, both men and women, the kind of person that she was and why she would be here in Proverbs 31 and why she teaches us wisdom. So what does wisdom look like as expressed through this woman? Again, it is expressed in noble character. Verse 10, she is a wife of noble character who can find. So she is noble. And you can go look that up and find out more what that means and put it in the context of Scripture. But I just think there's a bearing about her that, in a sense, put it in our context that we are children of the living God. And I live my life with that sense of nobility. That I'm a child of God. I'm not a child of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. I'm not a child, even as much as I honor and support our country, but I'm not a child of the United States of America. I am a child of God. Amen. And I can lift my head high. The second thing we see in verse 12 is that wisdom, it brings good and not harm to others. A wise person does good and does not bring harm to others, certainly not intentionally. It is diligent and hardworking. This is clearly personified and spoken of here. You find this in verses 13 through 15, verse 17, 19, 24, and 27. Wisdom is diligent and hardworking. It is a good steward of resources and money, verses 16 and 18. It considers others and shows compassion to the poor, verses 15 and 20. It makes those around us better, verse 23. It gives dignity and strength to those who possess it, verse 25. It provides confidence in the face of uncertainty, verse 25. Again, it shares faithful instruction with others, verse 26. It results in being blessed and praised by others, verse 28. It understands the temporary nature of this world and fears the Lord above all else, verse 30. And in the end, it receives its reward.
Hallelujah.
Now, is that just for women?
No.
I don't think so.
Not even.
I think these character traits that we see displayed, in fact, I almost don't wonder if this is truly the queen. She is the queen mother, the queen of some king, whoever this king is. And I almost don't wonder if this queen mother is saying, see this woman here? You need to be more like her. Who gave this oracle? King Lemuel writes it or something, but it was taught to him by his mother. We could spend a lot of time contemplating each of these character traits that reflect what wisdom has looked like when it's played out practically in our day-to-day lives. Do you hear me? This is wisdom made practical. And I'm trying to understand and bring it kind of in a sense, take it from within its context and make application to our lives today, which is always a challenge, right? Isn't that the challenge of reading Scripture? These are the characteristics of wisdom, or the woman of noble character, or the wife of noble character, that any of us can apply in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Is it a good thing to be a wife of noble character?
Yes.
Absolutely. You would all do well, ladies, if you're married or want to get married or have been married or will get married again, whatever. I would say to all women, I think this is a great study for you. But don't sweat the sowing and, you know, skinning sheep. And you can't do that, right? Focus on her character, the qualities that she exudes. And then I would just say, yes, it's good for husbands to find a woman like that. Wow, I've got one. I do. I read this passage and my jaw just drops and I just almost get on my knees with gratitude. But you know what? I want to be that kind of husband. I want to be a husband who's wise. I want to be hardworking. I want to be noble. I want to be good with my money. I want to help others and bless others. I don't want to harm others. So it's really not, I'm arguing this is not just for women.
No.
It's for everybody. It's in the book of Proverbs. So this is what I'd like you to do, to just wrap this up here. I believe that if we acknowledge really the full meaning, as I would argue it, of this passage, that this is for men and women. As we look at this example provided to us by the noble woman, that you would ask yourself, what am I going to do? How do I apply these things to my life? What am I supposed to do with this? So I want to invite you. This is the, if I could kind of bring it home. Because I just gave you a list. You're never going to remember the list. But I invite you this week to just spend some time in Proverbs 31 and try to draw out the traits for yourself. I've listed them here. I'm willing to send them to you if you want them. But I encourage you to read about this wife of noble character and to try to draw out your own sense of character qualities. And then, as it says in Proverbs chapter 2, cry aloud for the ability, the wisdom to apply those things to your life, to contemplate your relationship to these character qualities. And it's okay. You and I, we come up short in some of them, and we'll excel in others. But asking God to help us to grow. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight as you're reading Proverbs 31, men and women. Ask for understanding. Search for them, for wisdom and understanding as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. Because that's how this concludes, right? In Proverbs 31, what is kind of the concluding thing about this woman? She realizes that beauty is fleeting, that temporary things are but vanity, but she is a woman who fears the Lord and is to be praised above all things for that. We're going to take communion. Ultimately, who is wisdom? Jesus is wisdom. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Ultimate wisdom comes out of our relationship with Him. And it's all made possible, right?
Amen.
It's all made possible because of His death and His resurrection. And I don't care what year it is. I don't care what's going on in life. I don't care how sophisticated we become as a people and a culture. Jesus lived and Jesus died on a cross. He died for you and He died for me. His body was broken. His blood was shed. And people try to twist it, make it sound barbaric, try to say how mean the Father was. I mean, you get all kinds of stuff, right? It doesn't change the fact that the wisdom of God is foolishness to people, right? So, again, just going to mention that communion, the table, in our context, we consider it an open table, which means people don't have to be like members of this little community, particularly, to take it. But you do need to understand what you're doing, and I would say you should be a follower of Jesus. You need to be a follower of Jesus. You don't want to do this just because it's a cute thing to do or because you're hungry, which this wafer won't satisfy that anyway. So I do ask you, though, to take communion seriously, because we're acknowledging the most incredible event that's ever happened in the history of the world. And that is that God came to earth. We were absolutely lost, unable to even have a shred of wisdom, true wisdom. And Jesus comes to give us that. So, as we hold this wafer representing His body in our hands, I'm going to ask you just to take a moment before we eat. I'm going to wait just for a few seconds. And I want to ask you to do something, just to say a little prayer just to yourself that says, God, I don't want to follow the wisdom of this world. I don't want to commit myself to the supposed wisdom of a political party. I don't want to give myself to the supposed wisdom of the political pundits, the media outlets, all these things. that are trying to tell me what the right thing is to do and to be. Take a moment now and ask for godly wisdom. Go ahead and eat. Before you drink the cup, I just want to pray, Lord. Worldly wisdom says that for God to come and die is stupid at best, barbaric, even sadistic. We hear it all. I hear it all. But your wisdom, God, is... I think it actually says the foolishness of God is wiser than human's wisdom. And what looks foolish to the world, Lord, is wisdom to the believer. It's forgiveness of sin and restoration of relationship with the Creator of the universe. So as we drink this cup, Lord, we commit ourselves again to pursue your wisdom, God, to walk in your ways and not in the ways of this world. We do it all now in Jesus' name. Let's drink from the cup. Amen. I just invite you once again to don't just walk away from today and forget Proverbs 31 or the testimony of the noble woman. But I really invite you to take some time and to just read through the passage again prayerfully a couple times through the week. All right?